Father, thank you for this core, this group of believers, Father, that gather week after week to take in Bible doctrine. Father, we love Bible doctrine and we need your power, Father, to help us continue, Lord, and not dismay. Give us understanding, Father, for your words that we're going to hear this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. If you can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we're going to study one word here. I was studying about the Apostle Paul. He's kind of unique in his calling. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated for the gospel of God. Now, that's the word there that we're going to talk about, because Paul, a servant of Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. So the question is, why are we called? Why are we called? He was called, definitely. He had a unique call from the Lord Jesus Christ and in the way to Damascus. And he was called to, you know, to share the gospel to the Gentiles. But he also loved his people, the Jews. In fact, he says, I would die for them, so that they know the gospel. But he was called to be an apostle. And when we are called to fulfill the operational will of God. In his case, of course, you know, he had Christ himself revealed to him. You know, and so now we have the operational will of God, that we have the Word. So through this, we can understand the operational will of God. And we also understand the wills of God, like the, you know, geographical will of God, the specific will of God, the permissive will of God. All those things we learn through Bible doctrine as we go page by page. So that's how, and sometimes what happens in, like, pastors, missionaries, believers, they always want to go, they always want to learn the geographical will of God without knowing the plan of God in their lives. They think if they take the geographical will of God, they go somewhere, their life is going to change. But they're kind of doing it backwards, pulling the car before the horse. You know, God gives us specific instructions about His perfect will, the operational will of God for our lives. So, we're going to touch those things. But in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul wrote, and it says, but it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. God told Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5. He told him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. It's I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That's scary, isn't it? Before you were born, I knew you. Before we even were thought, He knew us. And we were separated, set apart, called unto. He did that to Paul. And Paul was a brilliant, he was a genius. He was well educated. If you're talking about Pharisees, I'm the guy. He goes, I'm the Pharisees of Pharisees. After that, there's no other diploma. That's it. I'm it. And God says, I'm going to use that guy. But the Apostle Paul was called, but he still had a volition. He could have rejected the plan. He could have said, no, Lord, I'm going to follow the Ten Commandments. And rejected. So I think what we do sometimes in the Christian life, we get called to the plan of God and we don't listen. We have our own plan. And we disregard the call of God. Jeremiah has said, I don't want to be a prophet. My family is well, you know, established. I heard they kill prophets. I don't want to do that. Jeremiah was a very distinguished prophet. Nobody liked him. Because everything he brought was condemnation, you know, for the Israelites. And he was set apart specifically for that. But sometimes God sets apart for a specific plan in the plan of God. Women don't like it. Paul didn't live a pleasant life as an apostle. Jeremiah didn't. So sometimes we want to choose the call. We want to choose how we're going to respond to the call rather than doing the specific plan of God in our lives. Sometimes we want the comfort. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do this part, but I'm not going to do this part because it's very uncomfortable. I don't feel good about it. I don't want to do it. I'm guilty of that. I think we are guilty of that, you know. Sometimes God says, I call you for this area. And I don't want to go there. Who wants to go to Africa? Who wants, you know, in the geographical. But like I said, we don't go to the geographical area. Now, we have a perfect example of the geographical area, like Pastor Stevens. He was called to go to Baltimore, to come to Baltimore. So you call into something. So he has two parts. You call from darkness into light after salvation, and then you call for the ministry. In his case, was called from New England to Baltimore because God knew there was a huge need in Baltimore. And he obeyed. And you see the reward. How many churches are around the world? That's a specific and a geographical perfect plan of God that took place. I'm from Mexico. Moved to California. Came to Baltimore. Explain that. You know what I'm saying? Specific will of God. You know, I had to find my wife. But more specific than that, I needed to learn Bible doctrine. Because this is the place where I found Bible doctrine. See what I'm saying? So you find the specific will of God. In Maryland, there's going to be a place where we study the Word of God. I was under a pastor teacher that was zealous about the Word of God. And from there, found greater grace. You see what I'm saying? So you find the specific and geographical will of God in your life. And if you're obedient to that, like I said, we can hear so much noise in our ears. We had the headphones with junk. I hear the rap. But it's too noisy. It's too, you know, doesn't make sense. God is whispering in your ears. The calling. He does the same thing for the unbeliever. He's calling. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He's always calling. But no, the enemy is making all these noises for you not to hear. But once we call, and then we set apart. And then he has a plan for our lives. So I wrote down some points here. We are called to study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. You were talking about the churches. They don't want to name Christ, heaven or hell. They're afraid they're going to lose their comfort because they weigh way too much money to lose that comfort in that church. You see what I'm saying? People will stop giving. If they say, yeah, you're going to go to hell. Well, salvation is real. So, but we accurately handling the word of truth. That word approve in the original is dokimos. It's tried in metals. Like, you know, when you try gold, for example, you have to heat it up with fire. If you resist the fire, I mean, it holds on to the fire, and then it's pure. You know, and the more you heat it up, the clearer it gets. That's the word approve. That's how metals is purified. So then we have point two. We are called to witness. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Mark 16, verse 15. And also in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That's when we are called to witness to the people. We are called to pray. Luke chapter 18. And also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17. We are called to pray in an attitude of thanksgiving. See? If you have a thankful heart, you're going to be thankful people. If you have a miserable heart, you're going to have a miserable attitude. You're going to be miserable people. But if you have a thankful heart, just like in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, we're going to be thankful people. Because everything we have, we're thankful. Everything. point four, we are called to give thanks in everything. This is the thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and also Ephesians 5:20. In everything give thanks. That's what it says. In everything give thanks. We are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Always. Not just once in a while. Not when I feel like it. Not when I go to church on Sunday. It's funny, I always watch people when they're going to church. Before they're driving very slow into the parking lot, in those big churches, and then make sure that they have a nice time, they're walking, the Bible in hand. But as soon as they leave the church, whatever. So they think they have to be filled with the Spirit when they go into church. After done, it's done. No. 24/7. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a once in a while thing. The believers think that, when we go to church, we need it. Because we need to show ourselves presentable to the other people. It has become a show instead of being studying Bible doctrine. So there's a continuous action. It's an imperative mood, and it is a command. We are commanded to do it. I am called to recover instantly. Instantly. So don't let the sun set over your head. Because he wants us to recover immediately. See, the more doctrine we have in our frame of reference, 1 John 1:9 is there. Immediately. There are two verses in the Bible that are so important. The first one, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The other important thing is 1 John 1:9. If you fail, if you sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you, to forgive us. Two most important verses we should have in our compartment, in the soul of our hearts, so we can remember those things where if we fail, we are going to fail. As believers, we are going to fail. To believe that we are not going to fail is ridiculous. We are human beings. We fight against principalities. We fight against Satan and his kingdom, the darkness. But we have the Holy Spirit. So once in a while, when the flesh gets in the way, you're going to let it go. But guess what? It says 1 John 1:9, you recover. You dust your knees, you go on. That's how we do it. It says in a continuous action, we are asked to recover instantly. Now the one who is called will sin, of course. But we have a way of escape. Now, I am called to walk in divine love. That is Ephesians 5:2. If you want to turn there, Ephesians 5:2. It says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And also we find a similar verse in Colossians 3:5. I got in point 7, I'm called to edify the body of Christ. That's a little hard to do, isn't it? But I am called to edify the body of Christ. Edification in the original is the word oikodome, in what it actually means, the act of building. That's what it means, the act of building. In the promotion of spiritual growth, building up others. It's like building up in a spiritual house, basically. So it's like building another's soul with the Word of God. So we have the spiritual Word of God, and I'm building your soul with the same spiritual Word. So we're helping each other spiritually, basically. We're building each other up. We're constructing our lives together. Just like that foundation we're talking about. You're constructing your wall, I'm constructing my wall. You're constructing your wall, she's constructing her wall. So building up together unto this foundation, which is Jesus Christ. That's edifying. Believers anymore, we do the contrary. We love to that. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what they said? It's always, the backstabbing in churches. It happens. It's a destructive way of thinking. Instead of edifying, they destroy the church. And it just takes one, like we're talking about, one little leaven, leaven's the whole lump. That's how churches fall apart. But we are to edify. If somebody falls, we're supposed to pick him up. We are all in the same body. You know, when somebody falls, hey buddy, come on, let's go. Just like in a race. Come on. You know, you run that 26K, you see some people don't make it. And they limping because, and then you see somebody, come on, I help you, put on my shoulder and help me. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what edification is, spiritually. So, we are called to be edified body. I'm called to love my enemies. Ha! If you're thinking about edification stuff, you're called to love your enemies. Somebody's going to talk bad about you. How do you react? How do we react? And not everybody's going to like us. Especially when you're a believer. Especially when you're in a different country. Sharing the gospel. Especially when they're going to chop your head off. Mm-hmm. We have heard many missionaries that have died. Great race. You hear that all often, you know. You hear one in India not too long ago. There were two couples. And they were trying to leave the area. They couldn't leave the area fast enough. They poured gasoline around a jeep. And they caught it on fire. They wouldn't let them come out. Because they told them to get out and they didn't. And that's what happened. So the family, the believers, you have to be able to forgive those things. And it's happening for the sake of the gospel, you know. So it's hard for the families to forgive. It's hard when somebody does something to us and forgive. But we are required, we are called to love our enemies. I'm called to lay down my life for you. 1 John 3:16. By doing these things, now I'm called to the operation of the will of God. It's tough. That's the operation of the will of God. And sometimes we think that, you know, I'm just to do A, I don't know, supposed to do B. It all comes, you know, it's categorized how we do it. It all has to be, all of those things have to be, those principles have to be in our frame of reference. If they're not there, we're not doing the perfect will of God, the operational will of God. So we have to do them, and then we move to the geographical will of God, you see? That's why I was saying people want to do it backwards. They want to get into the geographical will without knowing the operational will of God. If I can't love my enemy, how am I going to move to the geographical will of God? It's impossible. But missionaries, oh, I'm saved now. No missionaries, believers. I wonder what the Lord wants me to do. Without really learning what the operational will of God is. You see what I'm saying? Some people are supposed to move. Some people are supposed to go. Pastor Stephen is supposed to come to Baltimore. Some people are supposed to stay. You know what I'm saying? And some people, you know, they think they when they're here, they want to go there. When they're there, they want to come here. See, that's the issue. Believers get frustrated in life. Pastors, missionaries, believers. Because they don't understand the operational will of God. They don't understand all those wills of God. And their mind is cloudy. It is not exact. It's not really clear to them what it is. But if we understand in our frame of reference the operation will of God, we're going to understand the geographical will of God. It comes into parts. It comes in three parts. You know what I'm saying? Then you understand, you know, the permissive will of God. Then you understand the overruling will of God. So all comes into you. It's correlated. It's in steps. If we don't understand one, we're not going to understand the other. That's why it's so important that in our frame of reference, we have the operation will of God. What does God want from our life? And He tells us in His Word. And we correlate them. Now I'm ready to move to the geographic will of God because I understand His plan for my life. Now, if I go to another place that He called me to go to, I'm not going to be afraid. Because I know that He will provide for my needs. I know that He's going to provide for the housing where I'm going to stay. I know that He's going to provide the vehicles where I'm going to be. The people that He's going to put around me to be my team. Because I am in the operational and in the geographical will of God. He also going to open the hearts of the people because He sent me there specifically. Like the Holy Spirit told Paul, don't go there, go here. He had that vision that night. Because people needed Paul in that specific location. That's how the geographical will of God works. Now once I get there, my team is ready. I'm like, wow, that always amazes me. How does the Lord work that out? Because just like you have the desire in you to learn Bible doctrine, God also puts the desire in other people that's going to be in your team, so we have the same mentality. Because the worst thing we can have is your team not being a team partner. It's going to be friction if we don't. And that can be a devastating for the missionary, for the pastor and his team. Friction. We have to be in the same mind. That's why sometimes God cleans houses. And when He does it, praise Him. Because sometimes we don't want to let go. Or I don't want, I want what when that can. Because no, don't do that. But I want it. I want to uncover it. And you uncover a bunch of worms there. I told you, but now you did it. You got to eat the worms. That's what we do. We want something that God says is not good for you. But look, looks good, Lord. Next, just like Eve. That apple looks good, apple, whatever it is. The fruit looks good, you know? But in the geographical will of God, we're going to see God working in our lives the way that He wants to. So we have the operational, the geographical. He opens the doors to believers now, to unbelievers, for you to share the gospel. You knock on those doors, you know. We share the gospel, they take it, they don't, but at least. But at the same time, He will provide also the financial need that you have. Because God says, if you ask me for bread, I'm not going to give you a snake. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to give you stones. If you ask me for a fish, I won't give you a snake. If you ask me for bread, I'm not going to give you a stone. So He provides that for us. So we're going to eat every day. And you know that you are in the operational will of God. So it doesn't matter what we do. We can be working in an executive office with that attitude. You know that you are in a specific location and you're able to also witness to people because you are in a specific geographical location to work with. You can be an executive and you can be a janitor. But with that attitude, you're doing your job as unto the Lord. With that attitude, you can be given cups of cold water, a coffee in the name of Jesus, it's going to count the same way as if you were martyred in Africa or India somewhere. Because that's how God sees it. Because you are in the geographical, specific will of God. That's how God wants us to live our lives. Not because if we are not just being a Christian means that we love the Lord, yes. But the call, how are we called? How are we specifically called to the area, to the location in our lives? Are we called here? Are we called somewhere else? Now sometimes we gotta make the decision. Because probably we were called in a different geographical area and we're disobedient. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. We need to really understand the plan of God in our lives. If we understand that, the geographical follows. The geographical follows always. Because God is not gonna, He doesn't lie. You know, He knows exactly His plan for our lives. And He wants to do that. Now some of us, of course, takes a long time to get it, you know. Like me, He's been calling me, and I'm like, So eventually says, hey buddy, wake up, it's time. Because that's all the time we have, this time on earth, that's it. I was telling that to my dad yesterday. That's all we have. He's 85. So he goes out Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays on the streets, 85. So I ran over by a truck a year ago. almost lost his leg. Took him a year to recover at 85, but he recovered. He recovered. Had a metal stent in his leg, and he's walking now. See, thus, when God is in your geographical area, and you're in the operational will of God, the enemy is going to try to destroy us. The enemy says, yeah, truck will run you over, and that's it for him. And God says, I'm not done with you yet. That's what I tell him. The God is not done with you. There's more people to be saved in that town, and that's why you're there. And now he's still doing it. So it just blesses my heart that he is still doing it, even at that age. Yeah. As we continue, why we are called, we have, of course, as we are in the perfect will of God, we move actually in the operation rule of God. Again, we had the geographical, the operational, the geographical, the operational rule of God. Now, when we're working in a place, you know, sometimes our attitudes changes when we work in a place. You know, you always, people have a job and they have a vacation, or what you call a vacation, but a honeymoon for a week or 2 weeks. And they always want to work really hard the first 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? And after that, you can actually see the baggage that they brought from the other place. So, as we are in the operational will of God, the geographical will of God, that doesn't exist. Because everything you do unto the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Everything you do it as unto the Lord. So, sometimes you see a believer that is, you hire a believer, you can actually see the joy that they have. It's a joy to even work there, you know. And they appreciate you, they appreciate the things that you do. And then you have the other worker that he doesn't, you know, it's just a job for him. You know what I'm saying? We have people who actually, as they learn to the geographical will of God, they move to a place where they were treated so bad, you know. And God says, I didn't want you there. I want to place you here to a different job. And he realizes that in his heart, and says, you know what? That's a blessing from God. Just like Joseph. Remember Joseph. He had 10 brothers. That was the overruling will of God there. They treated him badly. They threw him in that cave, that well. But the God punished those 10. He blessed them. You see what I'm saying? Because God had a plan for Israel. So sometimes, you know, we take, oh, they did something wrong to me. You know, Joseph could have reacted badly against his brothers. He could have fought revenge, or he could have used revenge against them when he saw them and locked them in jail in Egypt. As we see, so yeah, they deserve it. But he recognized the perfect will of God, the geographical will of God, and he acted upon it. The overruling will of God says, Joseph, you forgive them. You forgive your enemies. And Joseph used that. And guess what? He got promoted to the highest. And we read of him in the Bible. So that's why it's so important for us to understand those things. Because God doesn't make mistakes. When he calls us, he has a purpose. When he calls us, there is a specific location for us to go to. When he calls us, there is something that we're supposed to drop and follow. We're supposed to, when we call, we're supposed to hear that whisper that says, Luis, I want you here. Pastor Mike, I want you here. David, I want you here. Mary Jo, I want you here. Ashley, I want you here. Brian, I want you here. There's a specific location for him. It could be here, it could be somewhere else, but we're going to learn that as we learn his operational will, his geographical will. Then we understand the other wills of God. The overruling will. Because if we can love our brothers, if we can love our enemy, we're not going to understand his overruling will. The permissive will. And that's why it's so important for us to really get in our minds that forgiveness thing. That mentality to forgive others. the mentality of fellowshipping with others, the mentality of edifying others. When you fall, help each other up. Because if you fail in the basics, we're not going to get the total package what God has for us. All comes together. And our frame of reference is supposed to be bold about the operation we've got in our lives. That's the only way we're going to be victorious in the Christian life, in whatever plan God has in our lives. Amen.